off on this thing is been thinking this week and different things, and of course God knows, because the pastor, he asked me yesterday, he didn't give me a heads up notice, so he's like one of those things you just kind of have to kind of be ready. But this week he's been stirring me up and different things, you know, and different things, and I'm looking back and I'm going, man, I'm sick and tired of the way things are. Amen. I'm sick and tired of the way that the enemy's been attacking us. I'm sick and tired of the way the enemy's been going this way, that way. I'm sick and tired of just seeing things not changing. I'm sick and tired of this and that. And I go, well, why on earth is this happening? And I look back and I go, it's me. It's you. I don't point my finger at anybody. When we look at the mirror, we say, it's me. We're in a congregation. We're a body of Christ. We say, well, I remember when I go to camp meeting and you have older ones that little say, you remember what camp was like. It's just not the same. And they're right. It doesn't feel the same. I go to church. It doesn't feel the same. It does not feel the same as whenever I was a young wee little lad. It feels different. It doesn't feel as strong as it was whenever I was a wee little lad. When I was 8 years old, beady bopping around, and I was actually trying to hide from God. You could feel the presence of God. Now we feel the presence of God, and we're like, oh, I'm so great. But there's much more. I know I've felt the presence of God where you can't even stand by being in His presence, to where you have no choice but to almost bow, because the presence of God comes in so strong and so mighty that you weep. Yeah. You do the things that you normally do not do. I can be a very emotional human being, but for what some strange reason, I don't have that ability to a certain thing to be really emotional whenever I'm in church. I don't know why. It's just me. Everybody has that different personality. But I know there's certain times when I see tears coming to my for no good reason at all. I know it's the presence of God is coming in, and I can feel Him, and it's just the mighty of His weight and His power that He has. It's making me feel, and He's saying, hey, I'm knocking, I'm here, I'm present for.
Yes.
I'm tired of watching all these lost loved ones that we may have that are out there. I'm tired of seeing the lost souls that are out in the community. Do we even realize that there are some things that we are blessed people? Because most of us that are sitting in this church, I happen to know, most of them had a grandmother or a grandfather or an individual that was a Christian that fought for them, prayed for them, that became a prayer warrior and prayed for them. There are those that are out there that may not even have that privilege. But what, where does that say? That picks up to the point to where we are as the people of God, the children of God, that we need to have a burden for those children, those adults, the ones that rub you the wrong way, the ones that make fun of you the wrong way. Because we war not against flesh and blood. We war not against flesh and blood. That's what the Bible tells us. So we're still to love those. We're still to pray for them, even though they despitefully use us. Even though they do us wrong, we are to pray for them. Because it's the enemy using them to attack us sometimes. Because they're really not attacking us. It's the enemy attacking God in his own little ways, throwing his own little jabs at God. That's how we have to see things.
Yes.
And you have to understand something too, that they may not have the one that they make intercession for them. I happen to know in my family, I was generally, truly blessed that I had on one side, on both sides of my family, I had a grandmother that on my mother's side, wow, if you knew her past. And something got a hold of her and she got saved. And I have to believe some of her prayers helped me out. But then I had a great grandmother on my dad's side that it goes a little further back, that maybe my grandfather and my grandmother were saved because she was a praying woman.
Yeah.
Do we have the prayer warriors like we do? Do I pray like I'm supposed to? I probably don't, because I get so busy with life and I forget sometimes. Shame on me. The pastor calls a fast day, and I guarantee you most of us wouldn't even think about being here. They call potluck. Wow, look at the numbers. They increase. It's amazing what food will do. And then the lack of food, how it just makes people do the other way. But what we're doing is we're giving spiritual food out. We're preparing spiritual food sometimes by prayer and fasting at the church as a community. Sometimes, you know, I go down and I think about things whenever I was younger, even down to Dominic, how the Spirit moved, and even how they felt it. Sister Brooks felt it down there. Some of those churches you walked in, and you could feel it before you even started service. They were ready to receive. But there was a thing that we had to figure out. Was one thing we have to know. They have a thing throughout the month that they call Hagia. It's called a fast day. Where the whole church gets in together, the ones that can are able, they pray and they fast and they intercede for their community and for their church and the struggles that they all have, because we all have struggles individual. We're all so consumed by work and so much by things like that. And then we become weak, and we need to come to God's house to be strengthened. Why do we come to God's house? Do we come to be entertained? Or are we coming to be strengthened? It says, forsake not the assembling of one another. Why? Because God understood that where there's more than one, there's strength. The Spirit of God is more, is pouring out into those different ones. It's warring against the enemy. It's going up against the principalities of the air, that dark cloud that's over Kane, Pennsylvania, or wherever your community is out there. There is one out there. That's why it's fine again. If you're one of those ones that are homebound and you can't get out, God understands that too. And you can pray just the same, and you're just as part of one of us or one of the churches that you're listening to out there. But you do your part that you can do while you're there. That doesn't mean you stop. Just because you end up in the nursing home doesn't mean that you're not dead yet. You still can keep on praying, praising God from there.
Right.
We have individuals that are no longer part of this church physically, but we know mentally they are still a member of this church. They are a part of this family of God,
right,
this church, and we still remember them. We still send them cards out there. They're just physically not able to be here. And we understand that whole part. But if we're able to be here, we should be here.
Amen.
And it should be the way it is, because we come and we gather strength. And that's the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
And are we sick and tired of different things? There comes a point in time as you think of David. And old David did this great thing and killed the giant. Well, all these people were hiding. I think sometimes the church just hides and there just has to take that one person or a group or God. You have to understand that God gave us the Holy Spirit when Jesus left the earth. You have to understand that part, that he gave us that. So we have strength. David understood who his God was. David understood there was a spirit inside of him. It wasn't David that killed that giant. We can praise David all you want, but it was not David that killed that giant. It was his, he was nothing but a vessel, because God took a vessel that seemed impossible to do something and made it do something that was impossible,
right,
because the Spirit of God was in him.
Yeah.
He said, you are not defying me anymore. That's what the Spirit of God rose up inside of David and said, you are done defying the living God. You are done defying me anymore. Pretty much is what happened. And that's why he was able to take that stone and he was able to kill the giant. That's why he was able to do it. Those mighty men of David, they did impossible things because God, the Spirit of God was with them.
Amen.
You see one where a guy had the sword was literally on his side. He quenched it where they literally had to take the grip off. Why was it? I have to say that the Spirit of God overtook that man so much that he did above and beyond, because on his own force, there was no way he was going to slay that many, and he would lose the race that God gave him the strength. So it was the Spirit of God that was using that vessel to do that mighty thing.
Amen.
There was one that was barehanded or something, took over a field even. You talk about, I think even one took a donkey's
jaw
and used it. And unhappable things that were done. And why did it happen? They seemed impossible. It was because the Spirit of God took over and took over that.
Yeah.
It was Samson. He did great mighty things that he did. Was because the Spirit of God was moving through that man. You want God to move through you? That's fine. You can get to the point in time in your life to where you are able to walk into a building and people are able to fall. Or somebody says, I don't know nothing about you, but I'm going through this and I need you to pray. I just feel something. There's something like that. There's an answer. It's not you. It's the Spirit that's living inside of you.
Amen.
Just remember, it's not the Spirit that you are, the person you are. It's the Spirit that's living inside of you. And are you letting enough of the Spirit live in you to where you can be you?
Amen.
But we go back to the church and we go through and we say, it just doesn't feel the same. I'm getting excited. I get excited about family camp. I'm actually thinking about actually taking all of family camp up, and I'm not going to miss one single day. Because, like I said, you can say, oh, you've been harping on this, Brother Eric, for a long time. But I felt something deep down inside me. Sometimes it comes and it goes. But I remember what I felt a few months ago. I'm seeing things, and I'm seeing wonders. They might not be necessarily happy here. I might feel a little bit here and there. Well, that's great. I'm feeling a lot. But that's good that you're feeling a lot. But I'm just saying, I'm not feeling him like I used to remember. I want to feel God. I want to feel the Holy Spirit in a great and mighty way like I've never felt him before. It'll never be enough. That's why drug addicts are the way they are. It's never enough. I want to be high on God. I want to have the full of the Spirit. I want that inside of my life.
Yeah.
I need that inside of my life.
I remember
whenever I was a young man and I was up dancing around the office. I remember that. But it wasn't me 10 years ago that was doing that. That was because God took over my body. The Spirit of God took over my body. I could not help myself because he set my feet a dancing. And that's what we need to have in a church anymore. Churches like to take out the book of Acts. Well, that's right where we're going to go. Anyway, I'm going to get into scripture here. But that's exactly right where we're going to go. We're going to go in Acts chapter 2. And it said, when it was the day of Pentecost, with full came, they were all in one accord. We as a church body have to be one accord. We're coming and we start singing. And half of our minds are over here. And half of our minds are over there. We need to start gathering in and we need to say, set that fishing aside. Set that hunting aside. Set that horrible football game aside. Because it has no earthly good. Let's start thinking about the things of God. Because I understand the world thinking different things. Sometimes that's why we have song service. That is why we have song service. Is because it starts to help us meditate on the things of the Lord. The pastor has his place for his message. The message has its place in its appropriate time. But there's certain times that the Spirit of God wants to move, and us as the people will not let him move. So we just sit there and we go through the routine over and over again. We will sing a few little songs. We'll take the offering. The pastor get up and he has to keep on hurrying up because we don't want the chicken to burn. We don't want this to happen. The person has to get to the football game, or otherwise they'll get up. Who cares if they get up? If they want to go to the football game, that's more important. Let them, pastor. Let them get up. Who cares? Just keep on preaching. Why should we care anymore? We need to get in one accord. We want to see God's Spirit move. It said right there, whenever the Pentecost fell, the Holy Spirit fell, was when they were all in one accord. We want to see the presence of God really fall and destroy a mighty way. We have to be one accord as a moving body. As one moving body is what we need. We need to have our mind cleared. I understand that it is always easy that we're consumed by the consumption of things of life. Maybe it's school for some of us. Some of it might be work. Some of it might be fishing. It might be something that we love, or hunting, or different things. And God has to work with each and every one of us. But there comes a point in time in our life that when we come into church, we have to start taking it seriously. Sometimes I just come to church because it's the thing to do. Even me. Oh, you get up there and you speak. I know, but I have my days, and shame on me. So I'm not just preaching to you or speaking to you. I'm speaking to myself. Because it's not the words that I have. It's the words that God has. He uses one man, but it's the same thing that it comes out being for the same person that's sitting up there preaching. I would love to have on all pulpits to have mirrors up there as they're preaching. So they can sit there and look at themselves too. We think the man of God is all that. He's not always all that too. He's far from perfect to begin with himself sometimes. But he has to get up there and he has to preach the word of God on how he sees it. And it's black and white, not weaken it down. We don't want to water down stuff. You know, whenever I was a young little wee little lad, I can frankly remember it. God bless my grandmother. But my mother, she made Kool-Aid. And when she put sugar in it and the flavoring, wow. It was awesomely good. It had some serious packing power. It had some punch to it. It had some flavor to it. And then my grandmother, she made it, and she watered it so far down because she didn't want the kids getting all excited. I think sometimes us with Christians, that's what we do with the Holy Spirit. We water him so far down that we can't even get excited about anything anymore. Well, guess what? It's not one of those things that you just water down. You just keep on adding. If the Holy Spirit's the sugar, add some more to it. Yes. We can't ever get enough of him. Right. That's something that we have to remember, that it says there. And it says also there, it said, and suddenly where it came a second from sent from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it fell all the house where they were sitting. And everybody, it wasn't isolated. Sometimes we feel isolated movements. That's whenever, I felt the spirit from somebody else. There wasn't a single person in that house that couldn't say that he didn't feel or she did not feel the presence of the spirit. Because it fell down inside the house. I don't even think that you probably could even walk near the house without feeling his presence, the presence of the Lord, because it came down in such a great and mighty way. And we get to that point in time and we say, hey, I have had enough. I want more. I want more. I want more of the Spirit of God. I want to feel the Spirit of God. I want to see prophecies being given again. Because it says, and also in there, it says something about people will be given prophecies. Where are the prophecies? When's the last time you ever have a, thus saith the Lord, and blah, blah, blah? Because I don't have one from the Lord at the moment, but I'm just saying, when did you have somebody do that? Or interpretation of tongues. When did you ever see that? In this church, a long time, I haven't seen it. Because as a church, and if we don't get in one accord, how can the Spirit of God move like it's supposed to? We're just coming to be entertained. And then we wonder why. And I'm not criticizing anybody out there. But then we wonder why situations are the way they are in our families. Because we have to fight united. We have to gather that strength united. God is capable of doing all things, yes. But we have to fight united for the community of Cain. We have to fight for the loved ones that are lost, that are sitting inside of this church right now. The ones that have, for whatever reason, have walked away for one reason or another. We cannot give up the fight. As a church body, we have to fight. We have to get filled with the Spirit and know how to pray. We tell God how we want it done. But when you start speaking in the way that the Spirit wants you to pray about the situation, and you start speaking in tongues, and you start praying in a heavenly language, and you're bringing your prayers up to God, you're praying even closer to the manner that God wants, closer to the way God wants things and the will of God. Because you don't want to see nothing bad, but sometimes it takes bad things to happen to wake somebody up. Sometimes it takes that. Sometimes we don't understand things, but God knows what He's doing. He knows how to get my attention. He knows how to get your attention. He knows how to get everybody's attention. He will do what He has to do, but we have to pray in God's will. So we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost in all ways. And it said, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire. And it sat upon each of them. It's something that burns inside of you. I felt the presence of God. But we get to a certain point and we say, I've had enough. Over a period of time for 10 years, I myself am just as guilty of it that I've gotten busy. I've gotten consumed. I come to church and I go, yep. Because it's the right thing to do. Some people may say that the Cain Revival Center may never experience a revival. And you know what I say? That's a bunch of hogwash. Because when His people begin to pray and really start to seek after Him, God has no choice that His hand will move. And you know what? We say, well, why don't we fill up? Why don't we have a lot of people here sometimes or get new converts or this or that? It's because did we lose the power? Some people just come to see the wonders, and that's great. But some people are really seeking after different ones. The woman who really sought after Jesus, it was a Gentile woman, and I believe my memory serves me right, because I'm going off the cuff here. She had a son or a daughter that was dead. Or very ill, and when Jesus spoke to her, is it bread to feed off of the master's table, to feed to the dogs? And she said, yes, Master, but even the crumbs the dogs will eat. She was willing to even take a crumb. Her faith, and because her faith was so great, Jesus had no choice but to say, because of your faith, I have made her whole. Why? Because she was seeking after something. She knew. So there comes a point in time that there's hurting people out there. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to turn. But if you have nothing different to offer than this world has to offer, why are they going to come to you? Why are they going to come to this building that represents the house of God? Why are they going to come here and speak with the pastor? Because if people are hurting and they say, hey, we know your prayer works. We know when you guys pray, it always works out. We know of all these things. We know this. So they're going to come. And we hope that by having that experience inside of their life, that they'll change their ways and they'll become saved themselves. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lost and dying world out there. But God, Jesus died on the cross for us, but he did not leave us powerless. He left us the Holy Spirit. And we need more of the Holy Spirit. But more in all, as a church, we all need to be more in one accord. We have to get that mindset that on Sunday, I am coming to church. I am going to enter in whenever they start singing. Instead of having Brother Kyle up here, I'm going to pick on him, singing like a crow trying to sing a hack and you're starting to hack as entertainment. Or having Sister Brooke up here trying to sing you happy and lift your spirit. Only you can lift your spirit because you have to connect with the, yes, with the Holy Spirit yourself, with God yourself. You're the only one that can reach your goals. There's nothing that any one of these people that are up here can do. They're just leading you in song. But you have to meditate on the things of the Lord. You have to enter in and get into that one accord with them. Start singing. What you call it? Some people say, well, maybe some people, they might not say it to my face because I'm 6'5" and I might be scared. But some people might say, well, Brother Eric, why do you play that tambourine so loud? I like loud. I really do like loud. It's just in my DNA. But in overall, whenever I really stop and think about it, whenever I'm singing, it's a sound of war. I am angry about things. I'm declaring something. I want to make sure that the devil himself is hearing what I'm doing. Yes. Yeah. You know, he is pretty old and he might be getting a little deaf. I don't know. But I'm just saying, I like to play it as loud as I can because I know he doesn't like it. There's people, you know how there's, well, there is my father. You know, there's something that bothers you while he's doing it on purpose just to agitate you. Well, I'm sure that you singing praises to God is something that agitates the devil. Oh, yeah. So now we're going to see the pastor up here really singing a lot more because, why? Because now he knows it agitates the devil and he doesn't like it. You know, you never know. I'm not making fun of him. I mean, that's just his personality. But I know that it agitates. I can be an agitator too if I really wanted to. Mm-hmm. But I have to know where to draw the line. But there is no line with the devil. I'm just going to agitate no matter what. Because you know what he does? He agitates me every day of my life. He makes my life miserable every day he can. He does things to me on purpose sometimes. He sends his little minions out there to do little things. There's little spirits that are out there that come after me that work for him. So they're going to make me miserable. Guess what? I'm going to make his life miserable too. I'm going to play that tambourine as loud as I can. I'm going to sing as loud as I can. I don't care. I make fun of Brother Kyle, but I know I'm not too far off from a crowd myself. But I'll sing anyway.
We'll crow together.
But you catch the picture. I'm coming because when we're in one accord, singing brings you in one accord. It gets your mindset processing you. Now, if the pastor just got up here and started speaking, your mind is still off about work. Your mind is still, you might not receive the message. And there's times where the pastor or the minister has to get up here and he has to speak a word. There are those times. Don't get me wrong. There are times when the pastor has to do that. But are we ready to receive it? The song leaders and them, they are only up here not to sing you happy, but they are trying to get get you in one accord, get your mind focused in. But you're the one that has to focus your mind in and start singing instead of just sitting back there and, well, that was a good song service. I really could feel it, kind of. And then the preacher gets up there, and before you know it, oh, that was a good preaching. What was it on? I don't know, Eunuchus? Well, maybe he was the, that person was the Eunuchus. I don't know. I'm just saying, just in general, you know, I need to understand, but we all have to be in one accord.
Amen.
We all have to be in unison. We all have to start thinking about different things. From this day forward, next Sunday when we come into church, can we have that mentality to where we're going to set aside all our cares that we have and put them aside, and we're going to focus on the love and the mercy and what God has truly done for us, that Christ has died on the cross, and that this is our refreshment time, that I can get close to God, and I can feel His presence, and the sweet Spirit of God can come and visit me and help me. Because we all go through problems, but sometimes we don't really know. I don't know what problems Sister Oaks is going through. I can say that safely, because there's a lot of this. I don't know what problems Sister Oaks is going through, but the Spirit of God knows. And the way we operate sometimes, we're ashamed of what's going on. You're ashamed of what's going on. But when the Spirit of God falls, I've known some preachers sometimes, I really didn't like being around them. Because if I had a secret that might have been a little dark moment, I'm afraid that they're just going to point it out. And sometimes they just look right in your eyes, and it's just that they're staring right at it. And you're looking, oh, I got to pull that out of there real quick. You're right. It's like as if they know and they don't even know a thing, but you know that it's God's sometimes. And I might offend some people that way, but you could put it relatively loosely and lightly sometimes. Sometimes I question sometimes some of the things I see that they fall underneath Christian. We don't even get beyond the started. They say Christian, but they just like to delete it all off of there.
Yeah.
They like to just take it right out. They say it's not for today. It was for back then. It was for this. It was for that. It's the whole Bible. What's Revelation say about it? He who addeth to the word, and he who taketh away from the word, is worse than an infidel. Isn't that what the Word of God says in Revelation? Isn't that what He says? Don't we know the book of Revelations? Am I not going to get? Yeah, no. It says that in Revelations. So if you're going to believe the whole word, you just can't take the book of Acts out. But we all have to be in one accord. We all have to be in one accord. There's one of those things. We all have to be united in the church service. We all have to be part of that, because there's strength in numbers. God cares about you, and He sees what's going on. You enter in. These altars are always open. At any point in time you feel you need to come to these altars, you come. Whether the pastor's preaching or whether what you call it, you just show up. That's what they're there for. That is what they are there for. They're there for you to come to God. It's just a manner that you're coming. It's an act that you're doing, that you're coming and you're bringing your problems and your situations to the Lord. There's no shame in it. But we become so ritualistic about things. We become so custom that this is just the way it has to be done. I believe, and now the pastor can tell me I'm wrong later, but these altars are always open. They're never closed. They're God's altars at any given time. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, I'm pretty much done. But what I want to do today is a little different, because it is unique and different. What I would like today is if the musicians would come, Sister Brooke would come, and Riley would come, and you and Sister Riley will sing, and they'll play the musicians, and we will sing. I don't know how many songs. I'm not even going to put a limit on it. Just follow the Spirit of the Lord. on that situation. Because this is God's day. That's how I see it. We got all night. Just praise the Lord.